SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Taking over. Let's go. It's Pharrell.
Coast to coast.
Steaks, chicks, stacks. You and I are going to make a lot of money. It's Pharrell. Coast to coast. It's a pain-free Friday. Pharrell on the bench, coast to coast in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad seed, a broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Pharrell Palatia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny was just out on the back deck, rolling up a fatty at that Wi-Fi 43 hybrid. And she was drinking shots of JMO in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion show, get up, should do be. All my friends that come around, flat to party up, rats on the west side, bedbugs up down, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shagged, ooh. I think my neck popped in the middle of that one. I may have had a little. All right. The birthday roll call. Here we go. Nick Bosa, 23 today. That makes me feel really old. Jordan Crawford, 32. John Lackey, 42. Keith Van Horn with that sweet J, 45. Al Leiter, double Nichols. Mike Tomczak, 58. Doug Flutie, 58. And your boy, Gigi Rodriguez, 85 today. Still swinging the sticks. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Dr. Chow will join us momentarily to break down all the injuries around the NFL, like DeSean Jackson. This guy gets injured, turning off his alarm clock. Lane Johnson again injured. Devonta Freeman injured. We'll talk about the Raiders offensive line all having the COVID. Emmanuel Sanders came down with the COVID today. He's not going to play for the Saints on Sunday. Austin Hooper, the Browns tight end, won't play. He's got an appendectomy all of a sudden he had. And then Tyrod Taylor has been cleared. We'll get into all that. Sheldon Richardson's injured. Every injury around the league we'll try to hit with Dr. Chow coming up. Later this hour, my friend Leonard Ellerbe will join us from Mayweather Promotions, of course. Leonard has managed Floyd Mayweather's career with Mayweather Promotions forever. Getting ready for a huge card on Showtime pay-per-view on Halloween night in San Antonio at the Farellimo Dome. It's going to be awesome. All right, we'll get into baseball, the World Series game three tonight. Unbelievable. Walker Buehler. Buehler against Charlie the Fisherman Morton, bringing in the schnook. Game three, it's as good as it gets. We'll break it down. We'll hear from Buehler. We'll hear from Morton. We'll hear from everybody that matters going into this game tonight. We're going to talk about Gold Glove finalists, who got on the list, who didn't. There's some people mad, like Yadi Molina not on the list. And the National League's not going to use the DH next year. No positive COVID tests in baseball in 54 days, which included over 3,500 tests. College football, top 25. I got your picks for tomorrow. But there's a bunch of games tonight to get in on as well, including Wisconsin and Illinois at Camp Randall in Madtown. They'll be drinking shot of beer, imbibing an iron, shot of beer, imbibing an iron, shot of beer, imbibing an iron, shot of beer, puke. And we'll get into all of the Big Ten rules for cancellations. What'll happen if Big Ten games get postponed? LSU's going to start freshman T.J. Finley against South Carolina. Miles Brennan is out. USC Trojans suspended sophomore wide receiver Munir McClain, involved in a possible alleged federal investigation into fraud related to the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program. I guess he applied for a loan. That's what got him in trouble. He had like a side hustle going with shoes, and his business grinded to a halt. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates on Sports Grid Radio. Go to sportsgridradio.com. Get the Sports Grid Radio app. Check out our overnights. Pharrell on the Bench, Sports Rage with Morenci, Bagels and Bad Beats with Scott Wetzel. You'll like it. You'll dig it. Our YouTube page, you can watch the shows. Just search Sports Grid Radio. I'll see you tonight on the bench. And we're also on Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana. Do you wanna? A University of Wisconsin study claims students participating in high school sports are not at a high risk of contracting COVID-19. And I just don't believe that for a minute. I mean, who's immune to this thing and can avoid it just because they're what, in high school? I don't understand that at all. The Holiday Bowl is not going to be played this year. Army Navy is going to be moved to West Point for the first time since 1943 after the war. World War II, that is, slick. NBA Board of Governors meeting. Discussions include playing less than 82 games, and will they start the season on Christmas Day with the five-pack of games? That's what I want. I don't want Christmas gifts. I don't want my wife making out with Santa Claus under the mistletoe. I don't want family over talking to me on their fifth drink. I want NBA basketball on Christmas. That's what I live for. Don't screw that up for me. All right. We'll talk about Ty Lue saying Kawhi and Paul George aren't going anywhere. Miles Turner, Victor Oladipo possibly on the trade block in Indy. Spencer Dinwiddie leaves Rock Nation. Amari Stoudemire will join Steve Nash's staff in No Sleep Till Brooklyn. And we'll get into the fan question today. You could do it too. Just follow us on Twitter at Pharrell on Grid. And then we'll talk to Mafia about 254 tomorrow and Pharrell Adabi, Habib against Gaethje. You'll get it all in that segment, top of the second hour. We'll talk about Thursday Night Football. Nice choke job by the Giants last night. The G-Men were up 21-10. They lose 22-21. Eagles with the comeback. Unbelievable. We'll hear from the play that Daniel Jones, everybody's talking about, the run. He went 80 yards and then fell on his face. We'll hear from Boston Scott. We're going to hear from Derrick Henry talking about the Steelers game on Sunday. We'll break down all the picks. Adam Kaplan will join us as well in the second hour. Plus, boxer Ryan Carl, all today on Coast to Coast. Go with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell with you back on Coast to Coast. At the very least, I want to mention before we get Dr. Chow in here from Pro Football Doc, is that I was watching a game last night, right? And DeSean Jackson goes down in this game. You know, it was like a punt. He got a fair catch or whatever. And then I don't even think it was a fair catch. I just think he got tackled, right? And then he got like bent like a pretzel. And the guy eventually gets up and they got to basically get two guys to carry him off the field because he can't put any weight on his what would deem later to be an ankle injury, a high ankle sprain, right? So I'm watching this and I'm thinking to myself, it is just unbelievable, this guy. I have never seen a player in the NFL, and let's bring in Dr. Chow now from Pro Football Doc. Of course, every Friday we have him on. He's awesome. They love him on Sports Grid. I love him. ProFootballDoc.com and at ProFootballDoc on Twitter. Doc, have you ever seen anything like this guy's injuries? Like, he never plays. He's got these fat deals with the Eagles. He's played all over the league, and everywhere he plays, he has these leg injuries. He has hamstring problems, calf problems, you name it. He's missed tons of games. We went through the list last night on my radio show, the litany of games that this guy has missed in his career with leg problems. And then last night, he gets injured again. And now he's out again, and I mean, it looks like for a while on the IR, at the very least, he can come back. But have you ever seen a guy get injured more than DeSean Jackson in your life?
Well, he certainly has had a bad string of luck, right, between the hamstring this year and now the high ankle sprain, going to be multiple weeks. And last year, he missed almost the whole season with the whole groin sports hernia type thing. And, you know, unfortunately, this is what happens to all of us. He's now a 33-year-old, speedy, small wide receiver who relies on that speed and cutting ability and acceleration to create space, to create separation. And so it's even, not only is he injured, but it's harder for him to come back. A Julio Jones can get open in other ways and play through his hamstring. A DeSean Jackson needs a healthy hamstring and now healthy high ankle in order to get himself open.
Do you think that he's shot?
I don't think he's shot. I mean, look, you know, but there is no question that the NFL level is so elite. I mean, these are elite athletes at the highest levels. These are race cars idling at very high speeds, right, and high RPMs. And so more things go wrong with them than your typical, let's say, pickup truck.
All right, fair enough. Lane Johnson injured again last night. He just came back from his problems and now has a grade one MCL sprain. Explain to people what that means.
Well, thankfully, it's his knee, not ankle. And a grade one MCL sprain, as an offensive lineman, maybe with a brace you can play through. But I don't think Lane will, not because he's soft, but the man needs a timeout. He needs to rest a little bit on that ankle. And maybe this MCL will give him the chance to do so. It's hard enough to play through one injury, but he's got two. He's got the ankle still and now the MCL. So I expect him to miss a little bit of time here. And in the end, that may be better for him to get the ankle right and give the knee a little bit of time. Otherwise, it's just one thing after the other after the other.
So when I'm in the, sometimes I'll go get set and snap, my chiropractor, whatever. I'll get treatment, physical therapy for injuries coming off surgeries that I've had. And they always talk to me about how everything kind of leads to the other. In other words, the neck goes down the spine, down to the legs, down to the calf, down to the, you know, is there truth in that in the sense that possibly this guy has the bad ankle? Next thing you know, his knee goes out. Do you believe in all that as a surgeon that everything points, all point systems start at the top and the brain move down and everything affects the other muscles in the body?
Well, you know, everything is attached in the end, so there is some relationship. But in this case with Lane, it was pretty clear it was another 300-pounder that fell on the outside of his left knee that caused it. So I think the connection was the other body landing against his knee rather than something intrinsic. But in terms of recovery and playing through, one does lead to the other because there is some linkage.
All right, talk to me about Devonta Freeman. He got hurt last night. Looks like an ankle. And at the outset, I was like, Freeman's not in the game. They were going with the other two backs. It looks like he's banged up now, and he just signed a couple weeks ago. He's played like 2-3 games.
Yeah, he's still in that early acclimation period. By video, I didn't see anything on his ankle, which might be good news, meaning it's mild, because if it's severe or more significant like Deshaun's, everyone sees it, right? And I did not notice it on Freeman, so hopefully that means he can come back sooner than later.
Let's talk about the Raiders. Like, you know, I don't know what the situation is. One thing leads to another, much like the muscles we were talking about. One guy gets it. They all got it. They sent them all home. What's their status, if you know anything about it? And then Emmanuel Sanders today tested positive for the COVID. He will miss the Saints game this weekend.
Well, for all your viewers and fans, I'll give them a little bit of a heads up here. Do have a pretty good beat on the Raiders and Emmanuel Sanders and the Saints. On Emmanuel Sanders, first of all, because he tested positive so late, he's likely to not only miss this week, but next week as well. And it's just been announced. I said, well, what about the close contacts? Any close contacts are going to miss this Sunday. And cornerback Ken Cauley apparently is going to be out this Sunday as well. So that's significant. As far as the Raiders are concerned, there's something going on in the NFL now. I wrote about it this week and talked about it at Pro Football Doc Podcast on Monday. I call it the new home field advantage. Most places don't have fans. The ones that do, they're 10%, small numbers. But the new home field advantage, it has to do with COVID protocols. If the Raiders were playing in Tampa this week, the entire offensive line would be out. Because they're playing at home, they have an extra day to clear off the protocol. They wouldn't be clear for Saturday for travel. But by Sunday, it will be the sixth day, and they can return. The four offensive linemen for the Raiders, Trent Brown is going to be out because he tested positive. But the other four entered the COVID list on Monday, October 19th, which means they can be done with it on the 24th Saturday and play on Sunday. And that's what they're hoping to do. Jonathan Abrams, on the other hand, the defender in the secondary, got put on the list on October 20th. And because of that, he cannot play in this game. So there's a little bit of a discrepancy on whether you play at home or away on when you clear and when you can actually participate in the game.
Look at the doc breaking stories today on Sports Grid. He's got it all, the skinny, the scoop. Austin Hooper, tight end Browns. He will not play. He got a Pharrellendectomy today. Nothing like having a Pharrellendectomy on a Friday. You know what I'm saying, Doc?
Yeah, well, not only is he not playing week 7, he's not playing week 8 either. And you may not see him until after their Cleveland's bye week coming up here. So we'll see what happens with Austin Hooper. But it's more than just this Sunday, probably.
What happens there when people have that appendectomy? You just is it like a rupture? What is it?
Hopefully it's not ruptured. If it's ruptured, he's going to miss a lot more time. Hopefully it was caught early and it's done, you know, through these little poke holes now, no big incisions, but it's still the game of football. So the fact that he had the appendectomy today on Friday, I mean, realistically, 9 days from now is a pretty tight window. And do you really throw a guy out there without practicing? So that's why I think he's going to miss week 7 and week 8 at least.
Looks like Tyrod Taylor's back. But he's not playing. They go with Herbert. What do you think of him and what happened to him?
Well, obviously, it was very, very unfortunate. But I think his punctured lung may have been bigger than was let on. If it really was just a tiny nick and needle hole, in 2 weeks, certainly 3 weeks, he'd be okay. He just got cleared. He's still questionable. So that there might have been a little bit of a collapse in his lung in addition to the puncture. But, you know, it is what it is. And as hard as it is to have a guy lose his job due to this unfortunate situation or injury, it's happened before. I mean, heck, Alex Smith lost his job to Colin Kaepernick, right? I mean, Drew Bledsoe lost his job due to injury to Tom Brady. That was the birth of Tom Brady. So it does happen. And as a head coach, you have to play the best guy, because if Herbert's the best guy, you have to play him, because otherwise you'll have the other 52 guys in the locker room staring at you like, what are you doing, coach? You know, you got to play the best guy.
All right, Doc, awesome skinny today on all the injuries around the league. Check out profootballdoc.com. Thanks, Doc. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll see you again next week. Thanks for coming on Coast to Coast.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, there he is, Dr. Chow with Pro Football Doc. I will tell you, Josh Norman is out for the Bills against the Jets due to a hamstring injury. Zach Martin has a concussion. Cowboys, he's not going to play against Washington. Don't go anywhere. We're still rocking on Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, great job, Cam. Cam Stewart, everybody in Toronto. We'll talk to Cam again next hour. And I just want to tell you, coming up next Saturday night, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, on Pharrelloween, the 31st, you're going to have an unbelievable Showtime pay-per-view boxing card from the Pharrellamo Dome in San Antonio. It's going to be incredible. As Tank Davis, Gervonta Davis takes on Leo Santa Cruz, it's going to be an unbelievable fight. It really is. Leo's one of my favorite fighters of all time. He's just the greatest guy. He throws hands like nobody's business. The fight's going to be contested at 130, and it'll be fought for both Santa Cruz's 130-pound title and Davis's 135-pound title. They've been just destroying everyone they fight. I love watching Leo fight. The guy throws for, 36 minutes. The guy will throw 1,200 punches. He means business. And lucky for us, we got my good friend CEO Leonard Ellerbe here today on Coast to Coast, styling as usual. I want to have him on C2C to break it all down. My man, how you doing, brother?
What's up, Scott? What's going on, boss man?
It's good to see you. I hope everybody's well, family, and everybody at Mayweather's doing great. I hope Floyd's doing great. I send my best to everybody out there. Let me ask you, first of all, before we get into the fights, how has, the COVID affected your business in the sense of changes and protocols and locations and like paying fighters when there's no crowd, all of these things? How has it changed your business as the CEO of Mayweather Promotions? Because you still have to run your business and have fights.
Yeah, it's definitely had an impact as far as the regularity of the fighters fighting. You know, we have a number of fighters who hadn't been able to fight. But they all understand that we're, all of us are in these trying circumstances, and it's very unfortunate. So what we were able to do, we're able to pull together a fall schedule, and some of our younger guys, we were able to put them in 50-50 fights, which you'll see starting tomorrow. You know, we have two of our young guns fighting on a Showtime card tomorrow. The card is headlined by Sergio Lipinets. And our two young fighters, specifically speaking, are Malik Hawkins and Xavier Martinez, just as an example. We have Richardson Hitchens fighting next month in the co-main event on the Showtime show. So we have been able to keep some of our younger guys, you know, busy, but overall it's affected, you know, the overall roster. And again, we just take it one day at a time, but the whole strategy behind everything, we just want to make sure that everyone's safe.
So when you got the Ferrellimo Dome in San Antonio locked in for this great fight with Tank and Leo, was that difficult, or was the state of Texas and the governor open for business?
Well, yeah, it actually was. It was difficult. Our co-promoter for the show, Tom Brown of TGB, he was dealing specifically with the government officials there in Texas. And you know, it's been a process. It's been a process. But we're, you know, very happy that we have all the necessary protocols in place to ensure that the fans and the fighters are going to be safe. So it'll be definitely an exciting night of boxing. And also, we're the first promotional company to be able to come back with fans. So, you know, we're really, really excited about that. We expect an upwards over 10,000 fans in the arena next Saturday night. So, again, you know, both guys are fan-friendly fighters, and we expect it to be a very, very exciting matchup.
How great has that relationship been for you with Showtime over the years? I know you made a lot of money with Floyd fighting on Showtime forever and these pay-per-view deals. How has that been fruitful for you guys? Because it obviously is still continuing, and Steven Espinoza and company, it's been good for both ends, right? Isn't it a profitable thing for both sides? Have you liked that relationship, Leonard?
Oh, no, definitely. Steven Espinoza, he's a partner. You know, he's done a phenomenal job with taking Showtime to the next level. He has a tremendous team in place. And again, working hand in hand with him, giving these young fighters great opportunities. We have an outstanding young roster of fighters. So it's been the transition of being able to work with them, with providing our guys with good opportunities on the platform. But I must say that, you know, we stepped up to the plate, and we have all our guys in tough fights. So, and that's what it's about, giving the fans a great, exciting fight, especially when these guys are young, you know, they're hungry and they want to prove that they're the best.
So, you know, I got to tell you, it blows my mind watching, you know, Floyd on this end of, you know, his career, where he could still fight tomorrow. He looks phenomenal. We all know that he could fight and blink an eye and kick anyone's ass and do what he does. But my thing that I'm excited about is watching you work with him as a promoter. I know he was doing it before, but don't tell me that he was doing it before like he is now. I feel like now he's really got his hands in on it. I've seen the passion. I've seen his excitement toward these kids. I see him signing them. I see him talking them up, selling them. I see him doing videos the other day saying there's too many belts out there. It's BS boxing. We got to clean this up. I like watching him as a businessman, as a promoter, and you, the genius that you've been running his company all these years. How exciting is it for you to watch him turn into that guy? Because really, that's the future for sure. I don't know how many more he might fight, but if he didn't fight again, I think he'd be gravy just doing this with you.
Almost definitely, and that's a great point that you make, Scott. He's done a phenomenal job with, you know, being really, really hands-on, and a lot has to do with this being our first pay-per-view fight for our young, the most exciting fighter in the entire sport, with Gervonta Davis. Floyd has anointed Gervonta as the next pay-per-view star, so he's been intimately involved as far as the preparation with him, along with our other fighter, younger fighters. He's had a lot more time to himself, obviously, because of, you know, we've been in the middle of this pandemic. So he's been spending a lot of time in the gym, and he spent a lot of time being hands-on with this promotion from the aspect of the marketing, social media, you know, so he's definitely had a major footprint in what we're doing, and also he'll be heavily involved moving forward. And it's a wonderful thing because he has such a tremendous platform that when he kind of speaks, you know, the whole world listens. So our young fighters, they have a tremendous advantage to not only be able to gain some of the knowledge, you know, with him being hands-on, but also the vision that he has with being a promoter and being as successful as he's been.
You know, I love Gervonta. I think you guys have done an incredible job with him, kind of bringing him up. And then he went through this, like, visibility stage where we'd see him fight, but that he was always in the mix when it came to other big fights that you had going on. He was always there. He was always front row. He was always accessible. He was always, you know, cool with the media, doing interviews and being seen and being around. Everybody's like, there's Tank, there's Tank. I thought you guys brought him in and made him a star, even though we already knew he was a star fighting. Now he's got the cachet of both, Leonard. I think he's this, you know, cool cat that gets along. People dig him. He's so approachable, and he's a great interview. He's become famous in that sense, but his fighting is another repertoire entirely. I think you guys have combo-mealed him brilliantly. I love the kid. Long before we ever saw him have this big pay-per-view fight, I thought he was on the up.
Man, Scott, you couldn't have said it any better, and you're exactly right. You know, anytime you're trying to build a young rising star, you know, you have to kind of do things to kind of think outside of the box. And that's one of the fortunate things I think our younger fighters have been blessed with, that, you know, we think outside of the box. And with Floyd giving him that stamp and in front of the entire world and say, you're the next guy. And oh, by the way, you're our guy. You know, he's definitely take several steps ahead of all the other younger fighters. And then on top of that, with him going in there and doing his part in a major way, going in there and knocking all these guys out, you know, anybody we put in front of him, he's turned himself into a major attraction, you know, at such a young age, with being 25. He's already right now top three in the entire sport as far as being a draw. So, again, he's definitely off to a great start. And the fan, he has this fan-friendly style where he don't play when he gets in that ring. And he reminds me and everyone else, like someone else that we know, he became the youngest heavyweight champion ever in Mike Tyson. His style is definitely a lot like his, but also Tank's a tremendous boxer. Tank's a better boxer than he is puncher. The fans just hadn't had an opportunity to be able to see that. And I think Leo Santa Cruz is going to be able to bring that out in him. And again, you know, Tank's been, he's one of the most popular fighters in the entire sport. And because he's built relationships with, you know, a lot of the pop stars, a lot of the major rap stars, from Drake to you just name them. Lil Baby, you know. So all of the
everybody loves him,
because this is about the culture. He's what this younger generation likes to see. You know, he's very visible in the community, and the younger generation are pulling for him.
Leonard, I love you. I got to run. I can't wait for the fight. Halloween night. Get it on Showtime pay-per-view. Davis and Santa Cruz. All the best, Leonard. I love you, brother. Be cool. Stay healthy, my man.
Thanks, Scott. I really appreciate you. Always nice to chop it up with you.
Love you, brother.
All right.
Sp- SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast on a pain-free Friday. Good having Leonard Eller be on, the CEO of Mayweather Promotions. I've been friends with Leonard forever. Covered boxing for over 35 years, and just good guys, man. I get along really well with Leonard and Floyd. They've always been fantastic to me. I'm sure you're going to dig that fight. I'm certain of it. I mean, these two guys are animals. I mean, Tank Davis and Leo Santa Cruz. For Halloween night on Showtime pay-per-view, make sure you go on the app, order it, go on Showtime.com or call your cable operator. Get in on this fight. Trust me, you're going to love it. Every fight I turn you on to, you love. I'm telling you, this is going to be an absolute slugfest. These guys mean business. All right, World Series Game 3 tonight in Arlington. Everything's happening in Texas, I guess. They got it going on in Dallas, outside of Dallas and Arlington for this game tonight. The Dodgers have fallen in love with this Globe Life Stadium. Everybody's raving about it. Remember when they were making fun of it, saying it looked like a toaster and everything else? No one's making fun of it anymore. They say it's like the best clubhouse in baseball. The Dodgers have been living large in there. I think it's been an advantage for them as well in their series. They've been like the home team there and just locked in. Tonight, Walker Buehler against Charlie Morton. Frankly, I think it's the best pitching matchup of the World Series to this point, for sure, and maybe for the entire series. It may not get better than this. Despite precautions changing how they're playing the games this year, Walker Buehler doesn't feel like things are any different for him. Let's hear from Walker Buehler, the Dodgers starter tonight.
It feels like a World Series. At the end of the day, somebody's going to win four of these seven games and hold up a trophy that says they're the best team in the world. And I don't think anyone in the seats, I don't think that changes that.
So, Buehler also talked about this team that he's going to be facing tonight in the Rays and their lineup. Here's some more from Buehler.
I think probably more their approach than anything. Obviously, they're going to kind of move guys around and, more of a manufacturing team as opposed to a pure slugging team, I guess, like Atlanta maybe. So, I think the other thing is you never really know exactly what lineup you're going to get. It's not a consistent every single day, 6, 7, 8 guys that play every day. So, just kind of trying to figure out what you think they may do against you and work off of that.
So there's Buehler. Charlie Morton has been so clutch for Tampa in the playoffs. I don't think he's lost a playoff game as a pitcher for the Rays. He's been unbelievable against the Astros in Game 7. You know what happened. And I bet on him in that game to win after they had lost 3 in a row. I still bet on Morton. And I'm betting on him again today. But here's Kevin Cash, the Rays manager, talking about how the team knows they can rely on Morton.
Just his overall demeanor, you've seen him now, you've covered him for 2 years. He's the same guy, whether it's game 7 or game 30. And that's pretty comforting. And I think it's not just what Charlie does for himself, it's what he does for our club. It's pretty settling. We've seen it. Every outing we've given him the ball in the postseason for the last 2 years, he's been pretty outstanding. And when you build that type of a track record, you just continue to have so much confidence in the person. The stuff speaks for itself. And what he did in game 7, I think all season long, it was a little bit of a struggle for Charlie to maintain his stuff deep in games. Through 70 pitches or whatever it was, the stuff never wavered. And that gives us a lot of reason to feel positive that he's going to be able to go out there and give us every opportunity to win.
All right, so I want to hear from Morton. He's been in the World Series before. This time it's different for Morton, and he talked about the difference. Here's Morton.
Anytime that you're in the playoffs, it's special. But I think the special thing about it is being with this group. I don't think any of the guys on that team have been to the World Series. And just this year in general, the sacrifices that everybody's had to make, the entirety of the organization.
I mean, can you imagine if you get him in a game seven and the Rays were to win, you could get that at plus 490 at FanDuel. And I'm telling you, the guy just comes up big in big games. That's all he's ever done in the playoffs, no matter where he's been, whether it was in Houston, whether it's in Tampa. The guy's been phenomenal. So the Gold Glove finalists were announced, and it was based solely on fielding metrics, whatever that means. The White Sox had five nominations, including two catchers, and the Cubs had seven nominations. Cubs did so fantastic in the postseason, getting swept by the Marlins. And Clint Frazier got on the list. How is that possible? He's terrible in the outfield. I mean, they can make a movie about his errors, but Francisco Lindor and Andrelton Simmons were not on the list. That's amazing. How about Yadi Molina getting left off the list? He's not happy. He says he's still the best in baseball, and he thinks he got shafted. So according to the Minneapolis Star Trib, the National League will not continue with the DH next season and it being expanded into both leagues. It would require a collective bargaining between the players and the owners and, you know, the union getting together and getting at the table and negotiating that. They're just not going to throw it in like they did in this short season with all their funky rules. There have been no positive COVID tests in baseball in 54 days, and it included over 3,597 tests. All right, let's shift gears now and talk about college football. There's some good games tonight, believe it or not. And I've got your top 25 teams in terms of action going into this weekend, starting tonight with Illinois and Wisconsin. Wisconsin laying 20 and a hook. I like Illinois with the number. Wisconsin to win that game at Camp Randall. It could be any which way but lose this game. It's either Illinois is going to be in the game. Last year they beat them. If they are in this game and they make it tough on Wisconsin because they both come out, they're rusty, they're going to cover that number. If Wisconsin plays up to their hype potential, in other words, everybody thinks they're a team that could be in the conversation for the Big Ten title, also in the conversation for being one of the ranked teams in the country that could make the playoff. I don't think that's happening. Hell will freeze over before Wisconsin's playing for a national championship in that playoff. They just aren't putting the Badgers in there. Ohio State's better than them to begin with, and I think they'll probably prove it. But I think Wisconsin wins this game. I'm going to middle it. I'm going to middle Clemson and Syracuse as well. That number's too big for me. I'll take the 46.5. I like Ohio State dropping the 26 and a hook against Nebraska. I'm not a buyer in Scott Frost. In Lincoln, I don't think he's done a good job there. I know he did a great job at UCF everywhere else, but at Nebraska, it has not panned out. I've had people like the governor, Tim Brando, selling me that he's going to win not only Big Ten titles at Nebraska, but national championships at Nebraska. He needs to win some games at Nebraska before I'm going to buy in. I think Justin Fields and the Buckeyes roll their ass tomorrow at the Shoe. North Carolina, NC State, everyone I know is on NC State at the 15 and a hook because it's a rivalry game. North Carolina got beat by Florida State, so everybody dove off of them. I'm going to stay on them. I don't like the backup situation at quarterback for NC State. I got North Carolina, and I'm going to go dangerously rolling that number. And then Kansas, Kansas State, I'm going K-State, laying the 19 and a hook. I think Kansas is awful. And then Coastal Carolina, I'm on them. Marshall, I think, wins this game, but I like Florida Atlantic FAU to cover that fat 15.5 piece. Alabama, Tennessee, I'm rolling with the Tide here, even in Knoxville, with all that orange and everything else. Tennessee just keeps disappointing. They don't know who their quarterback is. They turn the ball over left and right. They've gone back to their old ways. They started strong, but they've looked weak ever since. So I'm going to go Alabama there. I just can't trust Tennessee. And Notre Dame, Pitt, I'm on Notre Dame to win, but Pitt to cover the 9.5. I got it at 10.5 when it opened. And Pitt covered to 13 for me last week against Miami. I think this will be a decent game at Heinz. Notre Dame struggled with Louisville. Notre Dame's better than Pitt. I just think it's going to be a good game. I'm going to go Oklahoma State and Stillwater, lay the 2.5 against Iowa State. Should be a good game there. Penn State and Indiana, a lot of people are on the Hoosiers here with the 6.5 in Bloomington and Memorial Stadium. I'm on Penn State. Penn State is another in that conversation in the Big Ten. The game against Ohio State a week from now is going to be gigantic. Penn State should be better in terms of speed and size on Indiana? I know Indiana had a nice season last year. They're starting to win football games. They got a decent program on the up. But Penn State's flat out better. I'm laying the six. I got it at six. It moved to 6.5. And Va-Tech, Wake. I like Va-Tech there in that game. And I'm not certain. I'll find it at some point. I got so many games. I'm looking at a million games at once. But I'm not certain. But I think I took the other side of it as well and middled it. Michigan and Minnesota, I'm going Gophers and laying the number. I'm getting the 3.5 at home in Minneapolis. I like the Gophers for the upset. Virginia covers the number, 13.5, too much for Miami. Same thing as Pitt. I think that'll be a decent game at Hard Rock. Miami wins, Virginia covers. I'm going SMU laying 2.5. I love their quarterback. He gets no love. They're undefeated. They're 5-0. Both of these teams are undefeated. They're really good. Cincinnati on the road. Everybody's on Cincinnati. They think they're going to go down there and run the ball down SMU's throat. Not happening. I like the Stangs to cover the 2.5 and win the game outright. BYU is going to rock and roll Texas State. I know that. I'm going with BYU, so no problem there. In terms of the games, I think I gave you as much as I could. I think you're styling now. So there's a lot more going on. I told you earlier, Army-Navy is going to be moved to West Point. That's like 40 minutes for me. I could go to that game for once. And there's nothing like that West Point campus, too. It's really cool, especially in the fall. Fall foliage. The fall foliage. The fall foliage. Holiday Bowl is going to be canceled. No one cares. The only thing that matters on the holidays is NBA games on Christmas Day. How many times do I have to tell you? I'm getting sick and tired of this. Now, they're having this meeting today to decide if they're going to play on Christmas or if they're going to start on Martin Luther King Day. Martin Luther King Day is very important. I understand all of that. But my Christmas Day five-pack of NBA games is way more important. I want to watch the NBA. I don't want to watch Grandma smoke all of my K-Funk Swiss cheese. I don't want to watch Uncle Huey drinking all the Jameson. I don't want to hear my family members start saying at the beginning of the day they love me, and then 4 hours later after 15 Guinness, I never liked you. You don't know anything about love. How'd you touch my daughter? You filthy pig, you. Pass the mashed potatoes. It's dessert. Does anybody have any reefer? Ty Lue says that Kawhi and Paul George will remain with the Clippers for the foreseeable future. Yeah, that's because nobody wants their gigantic contracts anywhere else, or the fact that PG can't close out, son. Miles Turner, Victor Oladipo on the trade block. I'll take Oladipo, for Christ's sakes, with the Knicks. If that's what it takes, you're going to ship him to the Knicks. We'll take him, and then hopefully he'll be healthy and turn into something again. Spencer Dinwiddie has left Rock Nation and may represent himself in further negotiations and deals. You go get your son. Go get it. Amari Stoudemire is going to join Steve Nash's staff in Brooklyn. I think Obi Toppin is going to be the next Amari Stats Stoudemire. Israel, my boy, Stats, getting involved. Five-star combo guard Sky Clark chose to play at Kentucky in 2022 over North Carolina, UCLA, and Memphis. Let's analyze his name for a second on Coast to Coast. His mom named him Sky. Now, that's S-K-Y-Y. You got to figure, if I'm that kid, I'm going to convert that into some leg. I mean, honestly, if your name is Sky, you can score chicks. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, what's up, girlfriend? What's your name? Oh, what's up, Tiffany? I'm Sky. Let's go, baby. And it is on.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, for all back on Coast to Coast, fan question time. My boy Caps in New York City wrote me saying, Pharrell, they're going to have a bubble at Mohegan Sun with College Rack, I'm hearing, in late November, early December. Is it true? It is true, Caps. And it's about 35 teams from more than a dozen conferences are going to be in this Bubbleville, they're calling it, between November 25th and December 5th. and up to 7 games a day. There's going to be at least 9 pods of games, beginning with the Empire Classic on November 25th and 26th. Villanova, Baylor, Arizona State, and Boston College. UConn, USC, Virginia, Florida, St. John's, UMass, Vandy, BYU, Louisville, North Carolina State, and other men's and women's programs have all agreed to play at Mohegan Sun. They're going to have the Hall of Fame Tip-Off Classic. They're going to have the Gazelle, which is what I was talking about before, the Empire Classic. The Gazelle Group is the one that runs that. So this is going to be awesome. I love it. I want to go watch when the teams show up. Each school is going to have its own secured floor in the resort's 34-story tower, along with meeting and dining areas. And they just have this huge exposition center, 125,000 square foot. And they're going to turn it into the same thing you basically saw at Disney World with the NBA in Orlando with the NBA bubble. Bubbleville in College Rack at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. Now, you got to remember, they've been having boxing there. They had the Charlo doubleheader there. They've been having Bellator fights there left and right. So the Mohegan Sun has already proved that they can handle it without fans and with protocols and with COVID. They've made it work. So now they've convinced all of college basketball to descend on the Connecticut woods to Mohegan, the great resort up there in Casino, to have huge basketball games every single day, 7 games a day. Sign me up. Hey, yo, if you need a power forward, too, I got some minutes for you. Get Pharrell some burn. I go straight to the 10, son.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.